Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Work can wait. It's time to talk sports with Jeff Blair.
My first reaction was probably the same as yours. Seven defensemen? What the hell's gotten into Randy Carlyle dressing seven defensemen for a game? But, you know, the more I thought about it and the more that Tuesday's win over the Islanders played out, the more I realized I liked the decision. I mean, it's strange, isn't it, how we were trumpeting the departure of Colton Orr and Fraser McLaren as a sign that the Leafs were now trotting down an enlightened path of using fourth liners who, well, actually possessed a measurable degree of hockey skill. Instead, we, or rather the Leafs, found themselves with a fourth line that had figured out another way to be useless, or at least play themselves out of an opportunity. And now I wonder where this is all going. Leo Komarov has a team-high five assists. David Clarkson even has a couple of goals. I wonder if maybe this isn't a sign that all options are on the table, and that we might even see JVR and Phil Kessel broken up eventually. And I wonder what it means for Nazem Kadri and Joffrey Lupl, whose shotgun marriage is flat out not working.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
All right, you know, it was one of the storylines out of last night's game, and it's certainly not the first time Randy Carlyle has gone with seven defensemen. If you think back to March of last year, the second week of March, the Leafs actually dressed seven defensemen in a span of seven of eight games, and they were 5-1-1 when having the extra defenseman in the lineup. That was back when Paul Ranger was running roughshod, so to speak, as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So it's not like, you know, Randy Carlyle's discovered or trying something miraculous, something that heretofore has not been done. But I like the fact that Randy Carlyle went with seven defensemen last night. I like the fact that he was honest. The reason he did it, he doesn't want to sit Stuart Percy. And frankly, if I'm Randy Carlyle and I'm looking at that fourth line, I'm probably making the same decision. I've got a third line that demands or is demanding significant playing time, and there's just fewer minutes for any fourth line. So I have no problem with the decision to go with seven defensemen. I want to know if you think the Leafs can continue to do that. Again, last year they went with seven defensemen in seven of their last, in a span of seven of eight games in March. As I said, they were 5-1-1 during that time. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590, the number to call. We are very pleased at this time to be joined by our regular Wednesday insider, Leafs Nation pre- and post-game host, Mark Osborne. Mr. Osborne, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Jeff, and boy, it didn't take you long to change your tune with the 7D.
I like the 7D, especially when they win. Now, if they lost, I'd say it was the stupidest coaching decision I'd ever seen in my life. But in all honesty, Mark, I think it's a sign that there's a lot of options in the table right now, isn't there?
No. Obviously, when the team comes away with a victory like they did last night against an Islander team that I think everybody would agree the first couple of weeks of the season jumped out of the gate. They've got some, you know, offensive power, obviously led by John Tavares, Kyle Opozo, the addition of Boychuk and Nick Leddy. I mean, they're a good skating team that provides that offense for you. And so when you look at Randy's decision to say, well, we shouldn't sit Stuart Percy, you know, more than a game. I mean, he probably wasn't even deserving having, you know, sat out the other night. And so I think what that gave, you know, Randy was, you know, the versatility with, you know, Gardner Riley and Stuart Percy are all good skaters, good puck-moving defensemen, and yet you still continue to keep the guys like Roman Polak and Stefan Robida, which, you know, those are older guys. Those are, you know, guys that you've brought into your lineup that are making the adjustment to this new team. They provide you with a little bit of veteran leadership. They provide you with some grit and some bite on the back end. And, you know, lo and behold, when we, you know, talked about Roman Polak perhaps deserving to be a healthy scratch, I thought the last couple of games, you know, he's really exerted himself in a physical sense. I mean, he jumped in to help Joffrey Lupul there. And I don't know what he was doing in the offensive zone in the corner there, finding himself to score a goal. It's almost like he was out of position, and yet he contributed in that way. So, you know, your fourth line, which, you know, hasn't really been utilized very much. Obviously, the move paid off last night, and, you know, does Randy continue that again, you know, tonight remains to be seen.
Well, Mark, there's been a lot of discussion in this city about Randy's lack of confidence in his fourth line, or his reluctance to use that fourth line. And I think it might have even been with you last week when we were talking about it. And we were making the point that it's almost understandable because Randy Carlyle's in a position now where he's got a third line that he trusts implicitly. And more to the point, he's got a third line that has been probably, from day one, on balance, his best line this year.
Yeah, they've been the most consistent line, Jeff. And you look even at last night's game, I mean, you know, Clarkson, Komarov, and Santarelli. Santarelli, 2 assists. Komarov, a team-leading 5th assist, I believe.
Yep.
Like, how in the world did that happen? And David Clarkson, again, gets on the score sheet and, you know, is crashing and banging, and that line has really, you know, provided you, you know, no question it's helped your top couple of lines. And depending on how the game goes and the feel for the game, you know, penalties come into play. I mean, those guys on the fourth line, except for Peter Holland, I mean, they are not in a penalty-killing mode, nor are they in a power play mode. And so, you know, that's probably part of how things play out for Randy and the lack thereof of your fourth line. I'm sure if, you know, things started in such a way that you can get everybody in the rhythm of the game, he might decide to do it more so. But again, how do you argue when, you know, Phil Kessel, off to a real poor start this year, is sitting in, you know, tied for third in NHL scoring now. He gets 3 more points last night. And hey, a recipe of success is, yes, over the course of the entire season, we may not be able to do what we did last year, but, you know, at the same time, in this early going, you know, he needed, I think, to get his team back on track, which I think you would agree the last couple of games has been, there's been some positive signs.
Mark Osborne joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Brady and Walker were making the point on the morning show, and it kind of got my attention. They were making the point in the morning show that perhaps because we're in this position right now where the lines are in a little bit of flux, or, you know, the active roster, if you want to call it that, is in a little bit of flux, that we might actually see some sort of new combination tried out with Nazem Kadri. There was a suggestion, Nazem Kadri and James Van Riemsdyk. You really get the sense, don't you, Mark, that as I said, all options are on the table here, and we may see some intriguing combinations, I think, in the next couple of games, with the game against Ottawa coming up, and then, of course, Saturday against the Boston Bruins.
Well, yeah, that's obviously, you know, one of the things that you look and you say, okay, our number one line, you know, on any given night can come together and provide the offense, I think, that they have been consistently shown over these last couple of years. So, you know, on a night, again, Friday night against the Red Wings, you know, the Red Wings did a good job on that top line. Same thing on Saturday night. And so then you need your secondary scoring. I mean, I don't think we can ask more out of our third line of what they've provided thus far. And so then, you know, the onus does fall on Nazem Kadri and Joffrey Lupul. And I can in some ways sense it and see it with Joffrey. Is, you know, Joffrey is a guy that he doesn't often carry the puck. I mean, it's not usually his game. He's got, you know, nuances in the offensive zone. He wants to get the puck. He shoots it well. But Naz is not the guy that necessarily is a setup guy for a guy like Joffrey Lupul. And, you know, at times you see that, obviously a lack of consistency, but I think even inwardly, which, you know, he's not going to verbalize it, but I do see a frustration from Joffrey Lupul, and rightly so. I mean, you're a guy that's, you know, knocking on the 30-goal door, and, you know, had it not been for some injuries, I mean, you know what Joffrey Lupul can do, and I think if he plays with the right centerman, I think he would get more consistent production out of that second line.
Why don't pairings work when we're talking about forwards? You know, we talk about lines all the time, but the game now is kind of, you look for that pair of forwards that click, and then you try to find the third guy to play off them or to augment them. What makes an on-ice relationship not work? Is it guys who are too similarly skilled, or, you know, in the case of Kadri and Lupul, is it just the fact that you need that guy who can kind of think set up first?
Yeah, you know what, I think it's a combination of a number of things. And, you know, again, I will only compare, you know, my personal career of, you know, instantaneous chemistry with centermen that, you know, for whatever reason, it just worked. You know, whether it was, you know, Peter Zezel, whether it was, you know, an Eddie Olchuk, I played with Mike Ridley as well. Mm-hmm. There was just, you know, things that I think you thought the game the same way. You moved the puck. There was, you know, communication, which was really positive. I also got, you know, slotted in guys and played with, except for penalty killing, like Doug Gilmore, Mark Messier, where I just did not feel comfortable, and they probably were wondering, why do I have to play with that guy to begin with? Mm-hmm. So there are things that happen on the ice where it just, for whatever reason, it just doesn't work. And, you know, again, that's the chemistry part of it that, you know, can become frustrating when you continue to try to say, it's got to work, we got to make it work. Is it another different winger on the other side? That at times can be one of the mysteries in the game when, you know, things are just not clicking as they can. If you remember, though, Jeff, when Matty Fratton played with Kadri and Lupul there a couple of years ago, they looked as though they fit in well together. And then for whatever reason, it just it disappeared. And, you know, we see Matt Fratton. He's had a hard time just finding his game back at the National Hockey League level. So I guess, like you mentioned, let's see how everything does play out. I know they've tried Daniel Winnick on that line. You know, the analytic department talks about puck control and all that kind of stuff. You know, to me, puck control is evident by providing scoring chances and how that all plays out with three individuals. And so, yeah, let's see what happens here tonight in Ottawa and moving forward.
All five of the Leafs' goals last night in that 5-2 win went blocker side on Yaroslav Halak. You know, and there was a couple of replays where, you know, real good job was done breaking down just how he was giving away that side. Mark, when you're in a game, you've got all these advanced scouting reports. Clearly, you know about a guy's weakness. But at what point do you, as a forward or a shooter, make the decision to go blocker side? You know, for example, if you're playing Yaroslav Halak, are you always thinking, I got to shoot at blocker side, got to shoot at blocker side? Or do you have to wait and make that sort of as a snap decision, a split-second decision?
Well, we can go over the five goals, Jeff, and say David Clarkson was just trying to get the puck to the net. I don't think he even thought about where.
Yep.
You know, same thing with Roman Polak. Phil Kessel and James Van Riemsdyk as natural scorers. How many times have we seen Phil Kessel coming down the right side and finding that far corner?
Mm-hmm.
In today's game, I think it's a lot harder because just of the way the size of the goalies, the way they come out and challenge, it's a different style. Again, in my generation, whether it was Rick Vive, I mean, Mike Gardner, Mike Bossy, Guy Lafleur, all of those guys, they were so good at finding that far corner. I think if you'd ask Phil Kessel, I mean, that's probably his best spot. I mean, obviously, and usually the goaltender is moving to his left, you know, to cover the short side. For a left-handed shooter, in JVR's case, I like the far blocker side. I think there's a better angle if you're a left-handed shooter coming down that right side. Mark Messier used to do it a lot. And so I think that's just a natural good spot to find on a goaltender. And if you watched Halak, it seemed as though he didn't come out quite far enough. I mean, great shots by those two individuals, no question about it. And so goal scorers seem to find those spots, and you can often ask them, and they say, well, I'm just either trying to get the puck in the net, or, yeah, that if I see that opening, as Phil Kessel did say, there's a good chance that he might, in fact, find it, and he certainly did.
Ozzy, it was good of you to join us today. Thanks so much.
Okay, Jeff, take care.
Take care. That is Mark Osborne, our Leafs Nation pre- and post-game show co-host, along, of course, with the one and only Gord Stellick. And we'll have the Leafs-Senators game tonight on Sportsnet Ontario. And we, being Sportsnet 590, the fan, will have game two of the World Series. And by the way, Mike Wilner, who has done a tremendous job in the J-A-Day pregame show during the postseason, will join us at 10 o'clock. We'll talk about his conversation last night with Jose Bautista. Jose Bautista had some very interesting words, in particular about Melky Cabrera. So we'll talk to Mike about that. And we'll discuss, obviously, we'll discuss the World Series as well. And at 11:15, Kyle Lowry, Toronto Raptors point guard, will join us from the Raptors shoot around. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590 on Twitter. Use the hashtag Blair Show. My Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. Asking the question about Randy Carlisle's use of seven defensemen. Again, it's not like Randy Carlisle and his coaching staff are reinventing the wheel here. They used seven defensemen a lot down the stretch last year. It was very successful for them last season. But I find it interesting that Randy Carlisle, that was in March, as a matter of fact, that he did it. I find it very interesting that Randy Carlisle is electing to go that route this early in the season. And I want to know if you think is it sustainable? Do you like the use of seven defensemen? What do you read into it? And clearly, it's a sign of a total amount of confidence in Stuart Percy. I mean, think about where Stuart Percy's, how far he's come in the past 2 years. He's basically gone from being a guy in the American Hockey League to a guy who's come to training camp, played very well, earned a spot on the roster, and now he's basically dictating the lineup. The Leafs like what they've seen from Stuart Percy so much that they're carrying an extra defenseman. You know, think about that. That's a pretty good indication of the impact he's had. I don't have a problem with this. I don't know if it's sustainable over the long term. And I know there are people out there who are going to wonder about the fourth line. And we talked about it a lot. Randy Carlisle's reluctance to use the fourth line. And I made the point early. I thought the reason he was reluctant to use the fourth line is he had to give that third line extra minutes because the third line has been his most consistent line from day one till now. Santarelli and Komarov and Clarkson have been their most effective, their most consistent line. So, going with seven defensemen. Do you like the idea? Is it sustainable? What do you read into it? And, you know, you heard Mark Osborne's discussion about Joffrey Lupul and Nazem Kadri as well. Is that continuing to be an issue? I mean, clearly that relationship hasn't worked out so far on the ice. No one's saying anything about it off the ice. I'm talking about on the ice. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Let's go to Brandon in Toronto. You're on Sportsnet 590, the fan. What's up, Brandon?
Nothing much. I hope you're having a good day.
I'm having a great day. The Giants won their first game of the World Series. I look like a genius. Of course, it can all change.
I know, but I think I'll only look like a genius this round because I had the Dodgers winning, and it was a really good postseason for my picks.
But yeah, we won't go there. I had Tampa and Washington, so we don't have to go there.
So I just wanted to make a quick comment about Lupul.
Yep.
Lupul, I don't know how many years ago, but when he played with Kessel and Bozak, I'm pretty sure it was before. Was JVR already in town? I don't know.
No, I don't know if JVR was here. They may have tried it. They may have tried it when JVR was here.
Remember when Lupul had a little thing with Kessel? They were a little thing. Maybe why would you, I would just give it a run. Maybe dump three back. If you could get JVR and Kadri working together and you get Lupul going, I think it's worth it.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. I'm at the point now where I'd like to see it. I'm a big fan of having a first line and keeping it together and having guys that you can rely on. And, you know, and I just am. I like as much certainty as I can possibly get in my teams. If I'm a coach, if I'm a general manager, I want stability. I want certainty. But it's gone on for a while now that the Leafs have had a difficult time finding somebody to play with Kadri. And as Mark Osborne said, it's not a reflection of a guy's character or a guy's talent. I mean, you heard Mark Osborne admit that, hey, he played with Doug Gilmore and with Mark Messier at times, and it just didn't work out. And a lot of it has to do with the complementary skill sets and reading off each other and, you know, what you bring to the table compared to what the other guys bring to the table. It doesn't say anything about a guy's character. It's just flat out that stuff doesn't mesh. And there are players. There are players who, for whatever reason, have a combination of skill sets that make it hard to match guys with them. I mean, think about, you know, we had this debate. Well, it wasn't a debate, but we had this discussion during the Olympics. People were talking about, well, you have to have a certain guy to be able to play with Sidney Crosby. It's just the way it is. No one's sitting there saying, that's Sidney Crosby. My God, I hate playing with him. He's so hard to play with. No. But there is a certain complementary skill set that maximizes Sidney Crosby's skill set. That's how you get a perfect matchup, or at least a matchup that works as much as possible. Mike in Richmond Hill, you're on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for having me.
No problemo.
Based on the 7D that Carlisle's running with, I just think it's a simple fact of putting your best players on the ice. I don't think anybody on our fourth line is better than any of the seven defensemen that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's what he's running with. And as for our second line, to get that going, I love the idea of moving Lupul up and switching him with JVR. And if our 7D are that much better, why don't we try Gardner on the second line with those guys?
You know, do you remember, and you know, I still get people on Twitter, I get people on email, I get people calling up about this. And at some point, were the Leafs not talking about experimenting with Gardner on the wing? Back when they got him. For whatever reason, I seem to remember somebody talking about it being a possibility. I don't necessarily like that idea right now because I don't think that, you know, I don't think that Jake Gardner's not going to be moved to the wing and become your second line winger. It's not going to happen overnight. But I, you know, Brady and Walker got me thinking today. Maybe you try Kadri and Van Riemsdyk together, because the one thing you know about Van Riemsdyk is he does most of his work down low, most of his real good work down low. Now, it's just a matter of getting the puck in that area. And, you know, however you want to get the puck in that area, as long as it's down there, he's going to be in a position to do something with it. And it would be an interesting possibility. It really would. The other thing that is kind of worked into this equation as well is, as much as that third line is working, you've got to wonder if David Clarkson continues to perform the way he's performed and continues to put himself in positions to score. You've got to wonder if maybe there isn't some move made there. I just think all options are on the table right now. And they're on the table because David Clarkson, Leo Komarov, Mike Santorelli have been better than we thought they'd be. They're on the table because it still ain't working with Lupul and Kadri. They're on the table because Stuart Percy has played himself into a role that demands he be given a responsible amount of ice time. See, I'm not certain that on balance it's a negative. I mean, the negative is obviously the Kadri-Lupul connection or lack thereof. But there's a lot of other good stuff happening around that I think is kind of, is maybe forcing the hand or maybe guiding things in a certain direction. Paul in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me. You kind of stole that with me. I was thinking more along the lines of Clarkson for that line, too. But getting back to the D, why can't they keep seven guys? Why can't they keep seven guys up? Why can't Percy get a better education playing 6 minutes a game? And, you know, like I was saying earlier, if we're in a game where we're getting, you know, we got a lot of penalties, he's going to need to spell some of the guys on the PK, isn't he? I mean, those guys can't get run out there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the spot for him. But the other issue that you were saying too, if Clarkson comes into that position, what is that line gonna really kind of look like? Because Kadri and Lupo both are gonna maybe want the puck, and it's gonna be a little difficult in there. So
I just threw Clarkson out there. I don't necessarily like that combination. I just think that maybe. Maybe you've got to try something with JVR. Again, he's such a good player down low, and he's so good when he's got the puck in his stick. I mean, he scores goals. James Van Riemsdyk goals are goals that nobody else in this team scores. And it's just a matter of getting the puck in that area. And maybe if you put him with Kadri or you configure the line somehow. Maybe if you do that, you know, you've kind of come up with another way to, I was going to say to use the phrase skin the cat, but you kind of come up with another way to accomplish what you want to do. I think if we got our special caller here, we got a guy who's been dying to call up to the show, a guy I've been dying to get on, and it just hasn't worked because we're both busy people. This is
hey,
him.
Jeff, it's time for the Dangle Dial.
Oh, I didn't know where this was.
That's great because I'm great. Because the Leafs are great. Because they won. They kicked the Islanders' butts yesterday. Huh. Everyone thought they would be the hunted, but they got Mark Hunter, so the Leafs are the hunted. I don't know. Somehow it works out. So, anyway,
Steve?
After the first period, didn't look so good. People talking about all this Kadri and Tavares battle.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
good,
what is this, 2009? Those guys haven't played on the same team in years.
It was 2009,
I don't think it's a story.
They were junior.
What's the story? It's Phil Kessel's snapshot. That guy, that puck was traveling like it was in a DeLorean. Marty McPhil. That's what I'm thinking. That should be his new nickname. What do you think of that name, Jeff?
It's a horrible nickname.
No, it's a perfect name. It's a perfect name. We got to keep it. I need to come up with a nickname for you, Jeff. I don't know what I'm going to do it.
Well, I had one in high
school. Studio? Blair's Lair? Anyway.
No, but in high school I was...
Let's talk about how David Clarkson...
It was actually
two goals. He had four or five all last year. Really doesn't matter. But right now, he's leading the league in scoring.
No, he's not.
No. Sorry. He's leading the league in scoring among guys wearing a full cape. But I don't really care. Because he leads in some sort of stat, and to me, that somewhat justifies giving him over $5 million here, doesn't it?
I don't like analytics.
Sure it does. I'm glad you agree with me.
Oh.
Jeff, I'm full of information, just like the David Clarkson stat. I'm going to give you another stat, but it's going to come in the form of trivia. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm always ready.
Of course you are. I know you're game for it, Jeff. Come on, buddy. You weren't staying up late watching the game or anything. All right. Who leads the Leafs in assists? I'll give you 5 seconds
to answer.
Well,
that's easy. It's obviously Phil.
Leo Komarov. This guy has been money in the bank so far. Everyone talking about $2.9 million for a fourth liner, this, that, and the other. Hey, you don't pay a guy that kind of money if you're going to play him on the fourth line.
I've been making that point all...
He's already got 5 assists.
What,
people
five?
Are talking about him on the fourth line. 5 is bigger than 4, and that is why Leo Komarov is worth it. Shut up, it makes sense. Somehow. But I hope that Kessel and Clarkson and Komarov and even Roman Polak, I hope they didn't waste
their amazing goal-scoring
prowess. Roman Polak, that sniper, because they have another game against their bitter Ontario rivals, the Ottawa Senators,
now
with
that you
their captain,
that.
Clark MacArthur. At least he's the captain.
Clark MacArthur's not their
because
captain.
Because he's a former Leaf, therefore he is better than all of them. What do you think is going to happen tonight, Jeff? Thank you very much.
Well, matter,
We're sorry. You have reached the number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
I mean, I'm supposed to hang up on guys. Guys don't hang up on me. The hell was that about? Steve Dangle. But it's probably going to have to be a regular caller. Stephen Markham or someplace like that. Steve Dangle. Okay, I'll fess up. Here he is. He's an internet sensation. All right, he's an internet sensation, and I've been trying to get him on the show for like, what, Travis? 48 hours? 36 hours? No, I've been trying to get him on the show for a while. Since Friday? Something like that. We've been trying to get him on the show for a while. I was under the impression, you know, he would give me a chance to sort of speak in my own show a little bit. Anyhow, if you like what you heard there, you can go on sportsnet.ca and check out Steve Dangle's videos. I believe he's got one on NHL rivalries. He does indeed. He's got a video on the NHL's best rivalries, which is up in sportsnet.ca. You got to check it out. My guess is that he's probably going to be calling in after every Leafs game. Yeah, maybe even just on the spur of the moment if the spirit moves him. The numbers again are 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Maybe Steve Dangle said something that's got you thinking. We can talk about that. Also want to talk about the Leafs' use of seven defensemen. And does that mean that there are a lot of options on the table right now for Randy Carlyle? And maybe including breaking up that top line. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
All right, we are back. Get Mike up, Wilner will join us at 10 o'clock.
Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
We'll review his discussion with Jose Bautista and the pregame show before game one of the World Series. Who's Wilner got tonight? I think he's got Marcus Stroman joining him tonight. So he'll be able to call in for Marcus. And that'll be at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the Blue Jay A Day pregame show with Wilner. Of course, the Jays game will be on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on Sportsnet Ontario. Game two, first pitch set to fly sometime around 8 o'clock. And on Sportsnet 1, Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey, the Toronto Maple Leafs at the Ottawa Senators. And on Sportsnet 1, 360 at 9:30, the Washington Capitals at the Edmonton Oilers. The Oilers look to continue their little, I was going to say their mini, it's not even a streak. The Oilers look to win another game. That's probably the best way to put it. 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. Continuing our discussion about Randy Carlyle's use of seven defensemen and whether or not that means all options are on the table, and talking about the possibility of breaking up the first line and maybe trying to get Kadri and Lupul going. We have an anonymous caller. We have a lot of odd things happening today. We got this guy, Steve Dangle, that a lot of you obviously loved. And again, I'm going to direct you to sportsnet.ca, their website. We've also got an anonymous email. Flip Santarelli for Kadri. Leave the first line. Kessel makes space for JVR. And what has Kadri done, really? That's from a concerned citizen. Curtis in Brampton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Curtis?
Hey, Jeff, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I'm doing well.
Good. Well, a couple things. I think if Randy wants to keep his job, he's got to keep everything on the table, to be honest with you. When I look at that young defense corps, you know, the three young guys, I think it does make a lot of sense to kind of divide up their time. And, you know, if one of them maybe kind of starts to separate themselves as the season wears on, that maybe that person becomes the, you know, the sixth defenseman, the guy that's going to be there every game. But I have to admit, I'm a little concerned about that second line. I think we can't forget that David Booth probably was slotted for that second line.
Thank you for mentioning. You're the second. I'll let you continue, Curtis, but that's one thing I should have mentioned, and thanks for that David Booth was, in fact, slotted for that second line. Continue.
But in saying that, I mean, you know, in watching this team for a number of years and watching Kadri, I think that by moving like a JVR down to the second line and moving, say, a Lupul up to the first line, I don't think that the first line is going to suffer a whole lot by moving Lupul up there. But by moving JVR down, I think it really does, especially if Booth comes back, bump up that second line to be more of a threat.
Well, again, here's the thing about JVR that, and I've been pretty clear. I think he's, you know, obviously Phil Kessel is the best player in this team, but I think JVR is number two, and I think he's he's received the respect he deserves, certainly going to the Olympics with Team USA. But I look at the way he plays and where he gets his goal-scoring opportunities from and what his strengths are. And I just, sometimes there are forwards or sometimes there are athletes in any sport that can make people around them better. I think James Van Riemsdyk can make people around him better. Because by and large, you know what the end product's going to be. The end product's going to be a good goal-scoring opportunity. The thing you have to do is get the puck to him. And that can be accomplished in a number of ways. I think he's such a good complementary forward for so many people in this team. And I understand, though, that there are people out there that are saying, well, okay, it's also working pretty well with Kessel and Bozak. Why are you breaking up one line, just, you know, essentially doing it because Nazem Kadri hasn't worked out? And essentially what you're saying, Jeff, is we got to make all these changes to accommodate Nazem Kadri. See, I don't look at it that way. I view it this way. You have to maximize all your players' abilities, especially when you're talking in hockey about guys who are on your first two lines. You know, we can have a debate about whether or not a guy deserves to be in the first two lines. The fact of the matter in this team right now, Nazem Kadri is a second line player. And you've got to do whatever it takes to maximize the efficiency and the effectiveness of those top six forwards. Whatever combination it takes to make, on balance, that group of six stronger. And if that includes taking a little bit from the front, from the top line, putting it in the second line, and creating a greater hole as a result of that, then you try it. As I said, fundamentally, I'm opposed to the idea of breaking up a first line. I love consistency. I love, you know, sameness and lines and everything when it comes to sports. But sometimes you've got to look at it almost holistically and say, how can I try to create something that's going to be, at the end of the day, better than what I have right now from that group? And I think maybe we're almost at that point. Maybe we're almost at that point. And to me, the use of seven defensemen is just a sign that all options are on the table. And I have no problem with that. I'm not sitting here saying that, my God, seven defensemen's awful. I have no problem with that. You put the best team on the ice. You put the guys who are doing the most at that time to help you win games. Hell, if it takes eight defensemen, I'm okay with that. I'd rather have eight guys getting ice time than a fourth line getting a minute and a half or 2 minutes a game. Robin Ajax, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Jeff. Okay, 11 forwards. I think that's the key. Look, it's the way to break up the first line and the second line and let them play with each other, because you have to rotate people around. Without fans and media and everybody else going crazy, oh, what are they doing? They're forced into it with 11 forwards. And now it's
good point.
It's like training camp in the first month of the season. Let's see how these guys play. Let's see how they play. And then you can make a better decision come November or the middle of November. And as far as the seven defensemen, you know what? You rotate them around. You find out who's the best. And then you find out who's going to be packaged in a trade. And people who are trading for him will be knowing what they're going to get.
Yeah, it's there's an interesting aspect of that, and you touched on it. If we operate under the assumption that the Leafs have two areas right now where they've got excess, or two areas they could deal from in order to make a trade. Well, one, we know, we talked about James Reimer in goal. Two, they've got a number of defensemen. Those are the two areas of depth. Of some degree of measurable depth. So by using those seven defensemen, you are increasing their exposure to teams that might be interested in dealing for defense. But it's a lot easier to do that, to say we're trading a guy who's playing every day for us, than we're trading a guy who spent 2.5 weeks sitting in the press box eating popcorn. So you're accomplishing a number of things by playing seven defensemen. Maryland and Ottawa all the way in Ottawa. You're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Marilyn?
How you doing, Jeff?
Going to the game tonight?
Yes, I am.
What are you wearing, Leafs or Senators jersey?
Oh, Leafs.
There you go.
But I have my little 9-year-old grandson who's a Sens fan, so God love him.
There's still, well, I was going to say...
We make a good team together.
Well, that's good. I was going to say there's still time, but Marilyn, I don't know, do you... 9-year-old, do you want to convert him to a Leafs fan? I mean,
I think I'm going to let him go. I'll let him go. He's going to see that. He knows how happy the Leafs make me through thick and thin.
So very good.
He sees that. He thinks Nan, you know, his nanny is a courageous lady. But I would really like to say, Jeff, is I like the way the Leafs look. I don't really want them to break up that top line, the first line. And I think that the others are going to come. Still early in the season yet, really. But then again, we can't wait too long. But it's knowing when they should make that move is the thing.
Yes, and you know, and the thing is, nobody. The good thing about this, and thanks for the call, Marilyn, and enjoy the game tonight with your grandson. I was going to say, I still don't know. He's a Senators fan, Leafs fan. You might scar the kid for life. I mean, either way, he may be scarred for life. Senators, Leafs. Marilyn, you know what? I got an idea for Christmas. Get him a Jonathan Toews jersey. It's never too late. It's never too late, or for that matter, never too early. I'm just kidding. I appreciate the call. You're right. It's early, and there's no... There's nothing to be lost by Randy Carlyle doing this. If anything, I think it's a sign of an organization that's a lot more proactive than it's been in the past. I think it's a sign of an organization that's putting a lot more thought into things. You know, you have those new assistant coaches. If you step back from it and take a look at the decision to go with seven defensemen, it kind of dovetails with what we've been saying all along, and other people in this station have been saying all along, that this year for Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas, and now certainly Mark Hunter, this year is about taking a look at what this team is. What are the Toronto Maple Leafs? Are they the team that went to the playoffs in a shortened season and lost in seven games? Or are they a team that just collapsed last year? What type of group is this? At the end of the day, when you sit down and look at this team, what do you have? And this plays into that evaluation. This plays into coming up with that baseline. This plays into allowing Brendan and Kyle Dubas and Mark Hunter to sit back and say, these are our strengths, these are our weaknesses. We've seen this guy in this position, this guy in this position. This works, this doesn't work. This is what we've seen with our own eyes. It's not just what we've seen, you know, it's not just the stats. It's not just what we've heard from our scouts and from other people. This is what we have seen with our eyes. This is what the practical applications of our scouting and our numbers tell us. This is the baseline. This is what the Leafs are. Now, how do we go about improving that? It all kind of ties in to that concept. And Marilyn, you're absolutely right. It's early. This doesn't mean it's going to be the way it's going to be. Again, though, last March, Randy Carlyle rode seven defensemen for a couple of weeks. And it worked. Well, game one of the World Series was hardly... hardly an artistic success. I was pretty comfortable picking San Francisco. I didn't think it'd be 7-1. I didn't think the Giants would have their way with James Shields as much as they did. They got Jake Peavy on the mound tonight. There are some Royals players who have pretty good numbers against Jake Peavy. But I'll tell you what, if San Francisco wins tonight, I got a feeling that the sweep may be in the table. Mike Wilner is host of the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. He's also, of course, our third man in the booth. He's doing yeoman work on his
based on some interesting thoughts from Jose Bautista about Melky Cabrera. Today he's got Marcus Stroman on. And Mike Wilner is going to join us at 10 o'clock and give us his prediction. No, he's not. Mike Wilner doesn't do predictions. We know that. Mike Wilner will join us at 10 o'clock, talk a little bit about Jose Bautista, Melky Cabrera, and we'll get Mike Wilner's reaction to that game one drubbing of the Royals by the San Francisco Giants. This is the Jeff Blair Show. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.